Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. East River, South Dakotans are mostly huddled indoors today due to the frigid temperatures, but before long, we'll all be headed outside to enjoy South Dakota State Parks. Kelly Hepler is Secretary of Game, Fish, and Parks, and he joins us today for a closer look at Governor Noem's budget address and efforts to protect natural resources in South Dakota. Kelly Hepler, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Lori. I think this qualifies as what we call brisk in South Dakota today.
We appreciate you waiting for us today. And let's start with the weather, because I'm curious, an event like this with such life-threatening temperatures, how does that affect your department and the folks who do the work that they do?
Well, our people will take care of themselves, and they'll be sure that they stay at the right times. I think a broader question is, you know, what would this mean potentially to the wildlife? You know, the pheasants are struggling a little bit, and how do they find feed and cover and deer? And what this all emphasizes, though, which rolls into discussion we're going to have today, Lori, is the importance of habitat and making sure they have places they can go and get out of this weather, because they will survive. But it's difficult when it's 25, 30 below. If you don't have good habitat, it makes it, you know, a challenge to live.
And let's talk a little bit, because now that Governor Kristi Noem has given her budget proposal, we've had some, time for lawmakers to get bills going and rolling in the right direction. Let's get more specific from the last conversation we had. Some of the things Governor Noem talked about was enhancing predator control and habitat initiative and some work at Palisades State Park. Those were the things she highlighted in her budget proposal. Thank you. And let's start with habitat initiative, the Second Century Habitat Initiative. What do we know right now about sort of that partnership funding and how it will be implemented?
Great question. And there again, you know, we're always fortunate in the state to have a governor highlight the need for habitat and working on our parks in South Dakota. It's such a privilege to be able to have that. And so there are a couple of things the governor rolled out, and it folded back in that conversation you and I had probably about a week and a half ago. But one of the broader things where the governor is saying, we want to be sure pheasant hunting is important to us now and the same level it is now in the next 100 years, is the importance of habitat. So the governor dedicated $1 million to go into the Habitat Foundation. And that money then is going to be used in a number of different ways. But the governor has challenged us to really find some working land programs. We all understand if you want to make sure we have habitat in the future, the next 100 years, we need to work with those producers and show it does, in fact, pay to have marginal lands turn into habitat. And so it's hard to work with those producers over the next, you know, we'd have a 4 or 5 year commitment out of producers to say, let's put some of that land aside. We can still be able to potentially hay it to a certain day, you know, but they'll still graze it. Those important things, you know, actually for habitat to do also. So there's that approach. So it's kind of the short term things. Additionally, we're doing some work and has been doing some work in the state around areas that are high in saline, like along the James River. And it's not good for the habitat. It's not good for producers. And so there's potential some of this money could go to leverage some of that money in corn and others and Ducks Unlimited and Pheasants Forever. Laura, you're already putting money into that. But then there's another program which we're pretty excited about. It's brand new. It's one that Senator Thune introduced into the latest farm bill, and it's called CHIP, and that stands for Soil Health and Income Protection Program. It's very similar. Again, it's a working lands program, 5 year in nature, so you're not committing land to 15 or 10 or 15 year contracts. Same idea as getting these producers working with us and show the relationship, how it's important to keep those marginal lands out for habitat. And then there's some long-term things, Lori, we're thinking about that, you know, through some of the USDA programs, or it's called Regional Conservation Partnership Program, where it's truly trying to leverage working with these producers and these big ag organizations such as wheat and soy and corn.
When we talk about the SHIP program and the Farm Bill, tie that into, you know, the federal government shutdown, and some people were expressing frustration and just getting some programs started. What are we like with, does that impact the SHIP program and conservation in South Dakota, or are we on track with that because we're sitting here at the end of January?
Well, actually, the latest, since that's a brand new program, we're still working with USDA to actually implement and what those provisions look like. And I know Senator Thune's office, in fact, we've got some communication today, they're working with us and, you know, trying to figure out how do we want that program set up. It's for 50,000 acres. It's not a really large program, but it's an incredibly important program. It's a program that the producers themselves, you know, pushed with Senator Thune to get through. So we're in a really unique position, you know, Senator Thune, where he is in the Senate, to be able to help provide those provisions to look for, and hopefully a lot of the money will be spent, or, you know, those contracts will be done here in the state. So that certainly delayed things, but now we're back up and running, you know, and hopefully that was the last, you know, shutdown we're going to have, and people are going to be able to focus on their jobs.
Right. Palisades State Park, we probably don't recommend anyone to go out and check it out today because of the weather, but that was a sort of an exciting proposal for folks in the southeast part of the state to look at what's next for Palisades.
You know, what a neat example. I mean, that Palisades, it truly is a jewel for the people who live in the eastern part of the state, but it's also a jewel for the whole state, no different than Custer State Park is. And so, as I mentioned before, we had a unique opportunity to be able to buy some land and potentially trade some land, and it's been in some ownership over the family over 100 years, and it's really difficult to find this great opportunity. So we have a trade, basically doubled the size of that park. And for the people who have been there before, you know, trying to get into the park is confusing. You run into a neighborhood, basically. So we have an idea how we want to then, you know, change the entrance of that park, be able to provide more camping areas and some trail areas and really take advantage of that viewscape. And so the money that the governor has laid out there, it's a challenge, $500,000. So the intent would be is that we would go to our foundation, our Parks Foundation and others, and say, you meet the governor's challenge, and we can put $1 million into providing then that infrastructure of changing that entrance and making that park like we want it all to be. So it's a very exciting program.
Is that a change from the Dugard administration and previous administrations to have that level of, you know, challenge grants and partnerships and asking other people to partner with state government, or is that just something that we're hearing Governor Noem sort of highlight more?
No, I think it's one that Governor Dugard did have a challenge document like that when we were trying to expand the Custer State Park, working at Red Bridger Center and down in Good Earth, and the governor offered the same type of a challenge, which people rose to. And so that was successful. So I think, you know, the Governor Noem saw that as a great opportunity to try the same type of thing down in, you know, down in this area, because it's certainly an economic driver. There's no question what that park will mean to our economy. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And this leverages public funds that way. And that partnership is so important to build. That way everybody is bought into what we're trying to do.
Let's talk a little about predator control. Specifically, I'm hoping we can discuss House Bill 1073, which is a look at tracking predators using airspace, and lay this out exactly what this means and really what it doesn't mean.
Okay, you're referring to, I think you're referring to the bill that that Majority Leader Quam has turned in. Is that correct, Lori?
Yes.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What we're looking for there is that, as people are very well aware, there's more and more use of drones in the state, and the producers themselves, they're using it to maybe go check on where the calves are for calving, or maybe they're checking on, you know, maybe how a field is set up or not. And so people, what they want to be able to do is, and you get these drones up in the air, and they want to be able to fly around, and you can maybe, you know, you can find a nesting coyote that you wouldn't be able to find otherwise, or denning coyote, so then you can go efficiently dispatch that den. And a drone allows you that capability of doing that. And so what the representative is looking for then is the ability then to make it legal from state grounds to be able to, in a certain amount of time, and I think the dates that he's looking at is between December 1 all the way into October 1st. And so for those days, you can actually be able to use this drone to spot dens, and then you need to go out on your own and be able to figure out a way to dispatch that den. But it will not be legal to do that during the primary time when people are out there rifle hunting for deer. So we don't want people using drones to spot deer, is what we're saying.
Right. So that gets to the point of what legislation is not for and what it's for. Anything else that's working its way through State House right now that you wanted to address today before we let you go?
No, not on the State House, but I do just want to know, sometime it would be kind of fun to be able to talk about a Furs for Pheasants bounty program we're doing, and also working with this. You know, we have a live trap giveaway. We're trying to, you know, it's geared toward everybody, but we're coining the term trying to get kids away from Xboxes into live boxes. We're trying to get this trapping tradition going. It's been failing the last 20 years, and this is a way to get people out and trying to get those nesting predators when they, and we think they really are working on pheasant nests and also duck nests. And so that could be another conversation.
Yeah.
Though.
When does that program kick off?
This spring. We're
all right.
On it.
We'll get you on the schedule. Secretary Kelly Hoepler, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori.